So that brings us to, you know, a lot of challenges. First of all, we are having a lot of calvings in this brief period of time. And also many times we have limited resources, especially in the staff members that are working with the animals. Sometimes farms hire seasonal workers, but of course you don't want to have rely on seasonal workers for, you know, raising calves or doing all the newborn calf management. So the problem is not the calving. I like to say like that, because we all have in every system are the same challenges. The problem is how our systems respond to that high stress or that high pressure without cracking.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Steel, ventilation, cow cooling, cow-centric design, engineered in Canada by InBarn Solutions. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Dr. Luciano Cascetta from University of Minnesota, and I'll be talking to Dr. Ana Velasquez Munoz, who is an assistant professor at the Universidad Católica de Temuco in Chile, who has also spent a lot of time in Australia and the U.S. before going back to Chile, and will come today to talk to us and share with us a little bit about how it is the dairy industry in Chile and what are the challenges they're facing in Chile at this time. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And it's good to have you here, someone that's representing South America and coming to us to talk to us from Chile. And before we get into any of the main topics we have for today, can you just describe a little bit, well, how is the dairy industry in your part of the world? And what are the challenges that you're dealing with? And how are you combating all those challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. So just for a little context here, at least in Chile and many places in South America and many places in the world, our main systems are pasture-based. So basically what we do, we sync main events that are happening in the herd with the pasture growth curve, right? So the peak in the milk production of our cows has to be synchronized with the peak in dry matter in the pasture. Therefore, we are having two main calving seasons following that pasture growing curve. So we're having the spring calving season and a fall calving season. So usually the spring calving season is the biggest, is where 60 to 100% of the herd might calve in a very brief period of time, that is like 2.5 up to 3 months. And for the other hand, we have the fall season where, you know, it's less stressful. There's still a lot of calvings, but it's actually 30 to 40% of the herd in the case that we're having any calving at that time. So that brings us to, you know, a lot of challenges. First of all, we are having a lot of calvings in this brief period of time. And also many times we have limited resources, especially in the staff members that are working with the animals. Sometimes farms hire seasonal workers, but of course you don't want to rely on seasonal workers for, you know, raising calves or doing all the newborn calf management. So the problem is not the calving. I like to say like that, because we all have in every system are the same challenges. The problem is how our systems respond to that high stress or that high pressure without cracking, right, in the middle of the season and making everything even harder for the people there.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
That's interesting. Like when you talk about it, and I alluded to it at the beginning about challenges, and you say like those challenges that are making the system crack. So what are some of those biggest challenges that you're dealing with?
In pasture-based system, calving can happen differently. There's a wide variety of, you know, possibilities. One possibility is in a pasture, in a field, with certain protection for the animals. Another is in a barn, right? With an enclosed barn with other conditions. But even though we call it a spring season, actually it happened during the winter, like in the worst month of winter. So cows and newborn calves are exposed to all the environmental conditions. Like here rains a lot. It's very cold. We get freezing temperatures. There's a lot of mud. There's a lot of wind. And all those things, of course, are not good for a transition cow or for a newborn calf, right? During the fall season, calvings are during summer. So the same, like high temperatures, could be high humidity, animals could be experiencing heat stress. So the environment is, you know, like a big factor. Also, we are using the same fields or the same maternity barn, like very intense during those months. So even if you are trying to keep up with hygiene, with all the practices, at some point, you know, like you are just moving cows constantly. It's very difficult to have the same barn or the same field as you start the season and when you end. Usually, you know, it's kind of decreasing in hygiene and certain other areas. Also, if you take it from there and from the perspective of the worker, the workload during those seasons is very high, right? Even if, you know, there's a seasonal person helping, usually there's one or two persons that are more experienced and they are taking most of the responsibility. So there's a long working hours, right? And that is hard for physically and mentally. And also these people all the time are taking decisions, or it's like, I do this or I do that, or I prioritize this or that, right? And that's very exhausting. So there is when things might start cracking if we don't have good systems in place, because it's just the pressure. And of course, we are humans. We cannot, you know, do much of what we can. Also here in Chile, it's not very common to have 24-hour shifts, at least in medium-sized dairies, maybe the large ones with more, with system more like in the US. But pasture-based usually is just, you know, early mornings until, you know, you reach your working hours. So that's another challenge in terms of, how you are going to check the calvings.
And yeah, if they're not there, they don't know what's happening, right? You mentioned like there's like this two calving seasons and sometimes one, right? Like you said, there's sometimes it's 100% into a single calving season. So what are the most critical? You mentioned personnel, you mentioned hygiene. Are those the two most critical things that happen? Or they're important that they need to look after to have a successful calving season in Chile?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything related with the human part is very important, but also some critical areas is like calving supervision, as we were talking, that, you know, even though during the night, maybe there's nobody looking at the cows, you know, when they start their shift in the morning, those animals need to have the priority. Cows need to be milked and newborn calves need to be fed. Like that's the priority, right? Also the colostrum management. Sometimes calves are picked up once or collected once a day, right? Which made very hard to achieve good passive immunity and to have good colostrum management, and also the calf environment. I mean, during the winter, of course, calves are exposed to all these conditions, and that is affecting their thermometric sum, right? And they are more likely also to die during the night if no one is over there checking on them. So there are several pieces, right, that needs to work together in order to be somehow successful, or not somehow successful, be successful with raising the calves.
Yeah, especially if they're night, it's cold, and they don't have access, or they didn't like have colostrum, or didn't have like the very rich milk that they'll drink and feed them right overnight and help them get over thermal challenge, and also like just being a few hours old. But I wanted to finalize, because you touch the topic colostrum, and for those people listening, they were not here before we start recording, but you mentioned you're seeing some very interesting results in colostrum management and quality that's happening there. Can you just share your experience with the listeners, and how are you guys addressing those issues?
Yes, so we're in an ongoing research. We don't have all the samples yet, but so far, in general, in pasture-based systems, we rely a lot on the cow. So as I say before, the calf can be extended periods of time with the cow, but we don't know what is the quality of that colostrum, how much colostrum is that calf drinking, etc., right? Things that are crucial for passive immunity and later to good health for our animals. So what we are doing is collecting samples from the cow in the places where, you know, the calf stay with the dam, and also in the places where the cows are milked to feed the cows. We are collecting that colostrum, like pre-milking, after milking, and we're following that colostrum until, you know, it reaches to the cows. So something that we are noticing, and this is in all the farms we are working, is that the colostrums in terms of CFU are coming quite clean from the cow. Right, with some exceptions, and all the exceptions are mainly from the same farms, it's due to management. But in generally, they're reaching the standards for the industry. But as soon as you milk that colostrum, it started to appear the coliforms, E. coli, the plate count increases. So that is telling us something important. When the farms have the management of pooling colostrum, we've seen that that gets even worse, right? And when we go and collect samples from the colostrum that is fed to the calves and that is kept in the maternity area, and sometimes it's the milking from the morning and you keep it, you know, throughout the day, that colostrum is so, so contaminated. And we know bacteria is one of our main enemies in trying to achieve passive immunity. So we are in that point. Of course, we need more data, but probably we are going to focus a lot on hygiene and, you know, the milking routine for the cows. And also, most likely, there's biofilms in those equipments too.
Okay. And just one question, because here it's very common for colostrum to be pasteurized. The calf drinking from the cow definitely is not pasteurized. But if you're harvesting, is there pasteurization processes that's happening?
Yes. Yeah, some farms do have pasteurization within their managements, but other and most of the other farms do not, right? So they basically feed fresh colostrum, or they refrigerate it or freeze it, but it's not pasteurized. We're trying to push more on those managements, but, you know, there's still a need for that.
Yeah, and your results might show them you definitely need to do some pasteurization. Given the fact that if it is too contaminated, pasteurization is not going to fix that problem, right? So there'll be two things to work on that.
Yeah. So we're going to get interesting data from that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you can show them the value of doing this, and that will help and improve the lives of the calves, improve the whole system for them. I really appreciate your spending some time with us and sharing with us things that are happening in an area that's not the U.S. We know we have listeners from all over the planet, and it's good to hear perspective from different areas. Very nice to have you participate on the podcast.
Thank you, and thank you for the invitation.
That concludes another episode of the Dairy Health Black Belt podcast presented to you by WiseNetics. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated about future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a message, a review, and your feedback is very valuable to us. Until next time, this is the Dairy Health Black Belt podcast, and I'm Dr. Luciano Cascetta. Thank you. Bye.